It is my pleasure to welcome you to our Pro Football Weekly TV podcast. With the draft spread over 3 days, it's impossible to cover the whole draft in one show. So today, we're just going to focus on the first two rounds of the draft, and then next week, we'll finalize how teams did in their full drafts. The quarterbacks have been the number one story in this draft for almost 2 years already. And Thursday, something happened for the first time in NFL history. When J.J. McCarthy was drafted 10th by the Vikings, it became the first time in NFL history five quarterbacks were taken with the first 10 picks. And when Bo Nix went 12th to the Broncos, it tied a record set in 1983 with six quarterbacks being the most quarterbacks ever drafted in the first round. Out of the last 83, that 83 class that had six quarterbacks, Jim Kelly, John Elway, and Dan Marino are all in the Hall of Fame. So, Dave, let's start with you. We knew Caleb Williams was going to be first, and Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and J.J. McCarthy would go next in some order. But many experts had Bo Nix and Michael Penix dropping into the second round, and no one had them going 8th and 12th. The biggest shock of this draft so far is the Falcons taking Penix at number 8 without trading down first, getting a few more picks, and still being able to take him a little later. Dave, now that we've been done doing our homework and these guys have all been drafted, how do you rank them, and who do you think will be the best, and who do you think is going to be the weakest of this group?
Well, to be honest with you, the weakest of the group, I haven't been a big fan of Drake Mays, and it's just me. I mean, I like Caleb Williams. The only thing with Caleb, the guy was sacked a lot of times, but I think it's a simple fix because if the receiver's covered, he tries to hold on to the ball and make a big play. He's got to learn to take the checkdowns in the backs. Other than that, the guy doesn't throw interceptions. I mean, the last 2 years, 74 touchdowns and only 10 interceptions, that's 7-1. I mean, that's like Pro Bowl numbers to me. So I like Williams, but you know what? I like Penix. I really do. I mean, everybody gets hung up. Okay, he's had a couple of knee surgeries, and he's going to be 24 years old. But he's the best accurate long ball thrower of all these quarterbacks, in my opinion. I mean, the guy has as good of quick making decisions as any of these guys. So I do like Penix. I'm a little bit different than some of these guys, like you said. So I like, and then Jaden Daniels, you know, I just got to see, is he going to be big enough to run around? I guess I'm not giving him enough credit for being a passer. He's going to have to be a passer. They're convinced he can do that. If he can, then he'll be an impact player for Washington. So, and then I won't take no more time. I'll turn over here. But I'll tell you who I'm a fan of too. Bo Nix. Guys, Bo Nix, he started 61 games. Bo Nix completed over almost 75% of his passes. This guy makes he's Drew Brees to a T. There's no secret why Sean Payton drafted him.
Coach, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, when you think about, you know, Bo Nix, in my mind, I'm seeing like the second coming of Brock Purdy. And we all know, what did he do? Lead the league in passer efficiency rating this year. So, yeah, you put him in the same room with someone like, you know, Peyton. My goodness. Sean Payton has made – you know, a lot of money for a lot of guys, a lot of bums in this league. But, of course, we all know he did some special stuff with Drew Brees. All that being said, the big picture, could you believe the offense? You know, and on our radio show after games, you know, we've been screaming, you know, the Bears were mired in this 30, 50-year-old mindset of okay, it's, you know, an offense is flashy and sells tickets, but a defense wins champion. Hey, I'm sorry. Yeah, defense is real important, but you got to attack people on offense. And I think the first 12 players being offensive players, six quarterbacks in the first 12, it's basically telling you, hey, it's a perfect storm. Everybody is now, you know, kind of getting the message, and they're saying, hey, we're going to get on the train.
You know, guys, I'm interested in what Davis said about Michael Penix because, I mean, he's going to be a good quarterback. I don't doubt that. But I don't know how anybody could have watched that college championship game between Michigan and Washington and take Penix ahead of J.J. McCarthy. I just don't get it. And as you know, I've been adamant about McCarthy for a year now. And that is not negative in any way about Caleb Williams. As I pointed out, the last time there were six quarterbacks in the first round, three of them turned out to be Hall of Famers. And I think Williams and McCarthy are both going to be really good, and a couple of these other kids could be too. But what's really interesting is that the quarterbacks aren't the best group in this draft. You know, that honor goes to the offensive tackles, who are even better than they're just the second, and they're still just the second position group. I'll get to number one in a minute. But Dan, four of the first 14 players taken in the first round were offensive tackles, and believe it or not, nine offensive tackles were drafted in the first round. You know, the old record was seven offensive tackles in round one, and that's happened just once before. So, Dan, what are your thoughts about why the talent has exploded at the offensive tackle position, and do you expect it to continue to grow, or is this just an unusual year, and a special year at the position?
It's the best year in the last 20. No, hands down. I have not seen this type of accumulated talent at one position maybe ever. And the one thing, think about this, six quarterbacks, nine offensive tackles, seven wide receivers. Make it eight. Brock Bowers, I'm sorry. They're going to play him so much in the slot. He's going to be like a wide. So think about it. What would that be? 23 of the 32 first-round picks were quarterback, offensive tackle, wideout. It's nuts. But the offensive tackle position is a knee-jerk reaction. We all know, what was it, 53 different quarterbacks started last year, some crazy number. And everybody says, we can't win with a backup quarterback. Some people think you can, you know, get it, you know, an opportunity here and there. But if he's not your starter, he ain't your best foot. So how do you keep him healthy? Offensive tackle, offensive line. That's why they're doing it, Coach.
Yeah, I that's a great point. I mean, you're to even tighten it up more, of the 32 teams last year, half of them, it was an NFL record, half of the NFL last year at some point had their backup quarterback playing because the starter was hurt. And I think that's what you're seeing with receiver, with offensive line. It's a quarterback-driven league. What can we do to help our quarterback from a skill standpoint? And we're talking offensive line here. Protect them. The other thing, too, you know, when this offensive line thing started shifting is when they put in the rookie salary cap. And before that, you know, when it was just wide open, nobody wanted to pay an offensive lineman any money. It had to be an exception. He had to prove himself. But now with the rookie cap, you know, they're all slotted in there. So you could draft an offensive lineman and not feel like, oh boy, I'm going to overpay this guy. You don't have to worry about overpaying him until his fourth year. We know that. So I think the salary cap and the whole mindset of what can we do to help the quarterback, that's the biggest reason.
You know, guys, as good as the offensive tackles and quarterbacks are this year, wide receiver is easily the deepest position in this draft. You know, Dave, seven wideouts were taken in the first round, three of the first five picks and four total went in the second round, and three went in the third round, and we were only halfway through the third round when we had to stop and start getting this recorded to get it done on time. And so, Dave, the other thing that's unique about this year's wide receivers is they've gotten quite a bit bigger. Of the first 14 receivers drafted, only three are below 6 feet tall. I mean, we're used to 5'10 and 5'11 wide receivers. We're not getting them anymore. Five are less than 6'1, and six are 6'2 or taller. So, Dave, how has the wide receiver position changed in recent years, and how do these guys keep getting faster? Because you got a bunch of guys running 4'2 now and 4'3 in the 40.
All that I can say, it's like the offensive linemen are all, I mean, at my grandson's high school, they're 300-pounders. You know, when I was up in Green Bay in the mid 70s, we had one player on our whole team that was over 300 pounds, Mike McCoy, a big defensive tackle from Notre Dame. But so, I mean, I think the guys have gotten bigger. Everybody's specialized now. They're going to camps now. I just think that there's, you know, these guys are kind of being forced to make a decision. You want to play football, you want to play ball, and then they're getting specialized so much, and everybody has their private coaches and what they're doing. That it's increasing the skill level of these guys. They're all faster. They're working on the speed things. They're working on the catching and the hands things. The size, who knows with that? I just think every position has gotten bigger when you're pretty much when you look across the board.
Well, to me, it's obviously it's monkey see, monkey do. Everybody wants an A.J. Brown, a guy that can, you know, get off the jam, throw the corner on the ground, turn around, make it, you know, 8-yard hitch, turn into a 25-yard gain. But I was really and Hub, you brought up the fact that 7 wideouts were taken in the first round. I'm kind of teasingly saying throw Brock Bowers in there because you know he's not an inline blocker. He's gonna be a factor as well. But a couple of these receivers, in my mind, really went to perfect places. Think about Jacksonville. They're desperately seeking, you know, leadership. They're looking for big player. Well, Brian Thomas Jr., the guy nobody talks about from LSU, I think he's going to flourish down in Jacksonville. And moving up for the last pick in the first round, this was almost textbook Kansas City. They reach out and grab Texas wideout Xavier Worthy, a most worthy pick, I might add. I think you guys remember we talked last week about, you know, a bunch of different pools of players, and he was one that jumped out at me. He has such great speed. You know, he wasn't mentioned with Odunze and all these other guys at the top of the draft. But to me, he could be the long-term steal of the first round.
You know, guys, what's really interesting to me is on the other side of the spectrum, and we know how good these wide receivers and offensive tackles and quarterbacks are, but there wasn't a single running back, safety, or linebacker taken until well into the second round. Edgerrin Cooper was the first linebacker off the board, 45th. Jonathan Brooks, Texas, the first running back off the board at 46th. And then Javon Bullard, the first pure safety at 58th. Now, what's interesting is that in the last couple of years, cornerbacks have become one of the biggest positions in the draft. But this year, only 3 went in the first round and nobody until 22nd. And a lot of these cornerbacks are getting switched to safety. So we don't know about those positions. But I think at the end of the day, you know, there will be some cornerbacks moved to safety. But how has the game changed to the point where running backs and linebackers, are they just not as important anymore, Dan? I mean, running backs are still some of my favorite players in the NFL. And yeah, and we saw last year, you know, they went number 8 and number 12 in the first round, and they both turned out to be really good players. But now you're back this year with just one running back in the second round. They didn't start going again until the third round. These positions just don't seem to matter all that much anymore.
Well, to me, I thought Dallas Turner was the best defensive player in the draft. Well, what he winds up going 17th. But you asked a great question. Why has the value of running backs and linebackers diminished? And in my day, they were kind of like, you know, Exhibit A, premier player. Now, well, it's because of what we just saw happen. It's about throwing the ball. The rules. Every year they change the rules to make it easier for the offense to throw the ball down the field. Well, in the big picture, it's quarterback, blocker, protect the quarterback, and the guy catching the ball. Those are the premium positions. And on defense, the guy chasing the quarterback, defensive line, and then the guy covering the receiver. Then the linebacker would be, you know, like third tier. I think it's just – you know, it's just the way the pendulum swings. What do you say, Coach?
Yeah, it's you know, Jahmyr Gibbs had as much to do with Detroit winning as anybody on that football team. Made as many big plays. Why people don't see that? I think the fad now is to hire these offensive geniuses. Everybody's talking about a little bit like you're saying, Dan. We're going to throw the ball. And people have a tough time standing up on the table in a draft room nowadays and saying, I want to draft a running back, when the owner's going to say, or the GM's going to say, so what do you want to do? You're going to run the ball? And, you know, so it's got to be a different type of guy. Now, we didn't have any problem at Dallas, and I didn't have any problem here drafting a back when I was at the Bears because we were going to run the football. But that's the message you send when you draft a back. And these guys don't want to hear that now. With linebackers, you know, I did all the linebackers this year and the rushers. And the big thing with linebackers now is with three receivers, four receivers, all they want to know is he a three-down linebacker? And if he's not a linebacker that can cover, because he's going to get matched up in a lot of spots now versus these athletic tight ends and wide receivers. If you're not a three-down linebacker, all of a sudden your value really diminishes. And very few linebackers coming out of college are three-down linebackers. They're, you know, can play first, second, and third down. And now what's everybody playing on defense? They're playing a 4-2-5. Everybody's playing nickel. Dallas plays 6 DBs. Baltimore and Giants were playing 6 DBs, one linebacker. So I think the position now is it's just not being used as much because of the offensive philosophy.
You know, guys, I think what's happened is just that the college game has changed so much that it's just different from the NFL. You know, they just don't run like they used to. It's all about passing in college right now. NFL teams, you know, that's about passing too, but they know that they've got to run the football to win in the NFL, to win regularly. And that's why these players are being devalued. We're still going to see them drafted in the later rounds. We're still going to see great rookie, running backs. As Dave just said about the linebackers, you know, same thing. I mean, there's going to be great players, but, you know, they're not as hard to find because they're not asking them to do as much. And so I think, you know, that has a lot to do with what's changed in the last literally just couple of years. With the draft. And now one more thing we'll try, and then we'll cut it a little short this week because we still got four more rounds that we got to take care of. But I'll start with you, Dave. Of the first two rounds, who is your favorite pick in this draft? Who's the guy? I don't care if it's the first round, second round, but who's the guy who you think is going to surprise us the most and, you know, maybe be rookie of the year, turn out to be a big-time player? And of all these top prospects, who's the one that maybe you have your doubts about the most?
Well, the guy that I'm the biggest fan of, and I'd have drafted him in the first round and put him in there day one, and he's going to play for 10 years, and that's the big center from Oregon, okay? Jackson Powers Johnson. This guy, I fell in love with him, and maybe it's just he's a state heavyweight champion in wrestling. This guy can bend. He's played guard. He's a center, in my opinion. I think they're going to probably play him. Supposedly the Raiders are going to play him in at guard possibly. So, I mean, the guy's an athlete, and he is a mean guy. When he gets on you, you're going to the ground. He's a fighter, and, you know, I just look at he's a 300-pound Olin Cruz. Take him and put him in there day one, and your center problems are over for 10 years. The guy that I probably was disappointed in is Chop Robinson. From Penn State. The Dolphins took him, and I'm all about production, okay? That's the school I come from. Don't tell me how big the guy is, how fast the guy is. He's got all this. Tell me how many plays he makes. And when you look at Chop Robinson, he runs. He's got a great first step. That's all I'm hearing. But when you put the tape on, I don't see him using his hands. I don't see a counter move. He goes up the straight line, up the field. I think the guy had 4.5 sacks. I mean, I can tell you the school I come from, to with Jimmy Johnson, we wouldn't even have the guy in for a visit with 4.5 sacks. So he was the guy that I thought he was a second round pick. I would take him in a second because there's something there to work with, but I wouldn't have got on the table in the first round for him.
Well, we could talk for 2 days about what happened in this draft. A couple of guys that really jump out at me, Blake Corum. Their little running back from Michigan. He's going to go to L.A. and see Jim Harbaugh. Oh, wait a minute. He's going to be on the other L.A. team, though. That's the one problem for you, Hub. Hey, how about Cooper DeJean? He's going to be able to go to Philadelphia and play for Vic Fangio. In my mind, that is the perfect, you know, spot for him to land because we all know that Vic obviously has been one of the premier defensive gurus in the last dozen years or so of the NFL. And so good for Cooper DeJean. But I said this back in January at the end of the Bears season, I said, we all know what's going to happen. And it manifested itself with the drafting of Caleb Williams. Okay, that's good and fine. But Rome Odunze, this kid, to me, And you look at him, they took pictures with him standing next to Williams at the podium. He looks like a defensive tackle standing next to Williams. I mean, he's a monster. And guess what? Well over 1,600 yards. He led all receivers in college football in total yardage, touchdowns, plus 20-yard in-air pass plays. The guy, in my mind, he's going to be the next great thing coming out of Chicago.
Well, you know, guys, my favorite pick in this draft, my favorite player is Leatu Latu from UCLA. Yeah. I think he's the best edge rusher in this draft. He was the first defensive player taken. The 15th pick was the first defensive player taken. The problem is the medical, and obviously I don't know anything about his medical now. He's passed. He's played two full seasons and been the best pass rusher in college football at UCLA. But the only negative I can see on him is the medical. And if he stays healthy, I can't count how many Pro Bowls I think he's going to go to, you know, based on what I've seen him do at UCLA. You know, to say that you don't like a guy is really hard to do in these drafts because, you know, give him a chance to become NFL players and see if they are who we think they are. But I have to go back. The pick I liked the least and – you know, I'm not disagreeing about the Commanders quarterback. I mean, you know, not the Commanders quarterback. I'm sorry, University of Washington quarterback. But Penix, I just wasn't impressed with the tape I watched. And Dave, I think it's interesting that you were very impressed. And obviously, you know more about this than I do. But I just thought to take him at eight, everybody I talked to told me that they could trade down with that pick and get him 20, 25, whatever it may be. I didn't talk to anybody who had him going that high. And so I'm not saying he's not going to be a good NFL quarterback. I think he may be. He could be. He certainly was a great college quarterback. But taking him at eight and not even making a move to get some more draft picks, that was the one that I just didn't understand. So anyway, guys, we're going to have to wrap it up this week. We still got more draft work to do. We got to get right back to the draft. It's going to start again as we record this. It's going to start again in a couple hours. But next week, we will do a full review. We'll look at what every team did. And obviously, we can't go over 32 teams' complete draft roster, but we will certainly tell you who we think had the best drafts, who we think had the worst, and who still has work to do. But for now, we're going to wrap it up. We're going to go enjoy day three of the draft. We hope you all have a great weekend, and we will look forward to talking to you all again next week.